You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour of one of our finest shows of the year. Not hard to accomplish that when you have Joe McCutcheon and Mark Weber as your guests, but now we're going to close it out in grand fashion with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who we're lucky to have this evening. Of course, Eddie, longtime co-host of the show, but he's in between marathons right now. And we're getting him before he gets his nose or knees and feet back to the grindstone, as it were, and finishes up with the big St. Jude Memphis Marathon. How's it going tonight, Pappy?
Well, it's going pretty good. As a matter of fact, speaking about it being in between marathons, you know, my schedule's been a little bit different, so I was able to work with the breakaway running St. Jude Heroes. I was able to help as a volunteer on their little 22-mile run. Got about 2:14, got down to breakaway at about 4:15, and helped them work that 22-mile run today, and it was a lot of fun. I felt like I got to pay back some for the breakaway people. It helped a lot of my fellow runners. Just had a marvelous time, but kind of ready to rock and roll tonight, too, in the cesspool, you know. Kind of missed being on here lately, James.
Well, I know you've been busy, and the things will settle down after the first week of December when you wrap up your runs for the year, and then we'll all get together for some fun and festive Christmas programs, me, you, and Keith. But, yeah, tonight we're going to be getting back to something that me and you have sort of come accustomed to discussing. You know, the third hour is traditionally yours on the program. And quite often we talk about matters of faith on the show. Me and you are both Southern Baptists, and I was talking with a gentleman earlier this week on the phone, and we were talking about how all of the churches certainly got together to push a big Republican vote, and I was talking about how silly and ignorant my fellow Southern Baptists are when it comes to politics. Not that they aren't good intentioned and they don't have good instincts, but they're just silly and ignorant. I mean, that's all there is to it. And as I said that, I started laughing because, you know, if I heard somebody else call Southern Baptists silly and ignorant, I'd be ready to fight for them. And you know, I'd be ready to fight them in defense of Southern Baptists. But certainly it's different when it comes from us, because we've earned the right to criticize our own. It's, you know, it's one thing to critique your family. It's something else when somebody else does it. And it raises a fighting spirit. But anyway, we're going to be talking about all of this and more tonight in the third hour with Eddie. And I really think it's going to be a capstone to tonight's broadcast, because I really enjoy talking about these issues. But before we do that, let's go quickly to Alaska, where Chris has called in with a comment. Chris, it's all yours.
James, I actually wanted to talk about this same issue, so it's providential that I called at this time. And
well,
what I wanted to bring up is Joe McCutcheon talked about the Catholic Church and Catholic Charities facilitating illegal immigration. And none of the people in the pews actually benefit from this. And I just wanted to say that it doesn't work. Religion and liberalism are fundamentally opposed. Liberalism is a religion. You cannot be a liberal and a Christian. You're a liberal who pretends to be a Christian, or you're a Christian and you can't be a liberal. And no church who embraces liberalism lasts long as a church. I mean, it might be a social club, but that's not it. You know, there's no God quickly leaves the door, as it were, if a church embraces liberalism. And so it doesn't matter whether this is Southern Baptists or the Catholics or any church, when you embrace the liberalism and this alienism and destruction of the people who built the church, you're quickly going to drive everyone out, and not going to be much of a church anymore, because you're worshiping your own ego and liberalism over God. So,
well, Chris, you are certainly preaching to the choir, if I could use a religious pun there, or some religious parlance. But I mean, obviously, I agree with you. Eddie, I know this is a passion of yours, and this is something that you and I come together and talk about, as I mentioned, very often, because we really seem to fuel each other's fire on this, because we are members of the same denomination. And thank you for the call, Chris. I really appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. Would you like to respond to Chris's comments, Eddie?
Yeah, you know, James, I agree with your statement in the beginning, too. You know, no one has slammed the Southern Baptist Church harder than you and I. We're both members of the Southern Baptist Church. But, you know, and I told my pastor, I've told him several times, my pastor, that, and I love him dearly, but, and I said I love him. I've let him know how I love him. He knows I love him, and I love just about everybody in our church. And I appreciate what they've done, but, you know, we've said on this show several times that God never made a dumber critter than a Southern Baptist when it comes to what's going on in the world, in politics, who our enemies are. They just seem to be bewitched. You know, we had years ago when we used to be able to get Pastor Chuck Baldwin on. He's a Southern Baptist. I told him, I said, it seems as like the evangelical Christians in the United States, especially in the South, they seem to be bewitched, like they have scales over their eyes or something. They can't see the simplest little things. You know, they put their big hopes in the Republican Party year after year, and the Republican Party continues to just to fail them year after year. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And like the man says, you know, the churches have been they just about all of them now. The Southern Baptist used to be a stronghold of segregation, for instance, right here in Memphis. Was a big one of the biggest fights for segregation in the United States occurred. But now these same churches are they're embracing segregation, and they even have they've gone so far as to have singles organizations for to meet and greet and get these people together, and they don't just allow race mixing. They actually encourage it. Some of the churches here in Memphis have said, "Yeah, we encourage it. We approve of that. We like that." You know, it's and they're big backers. They're becoming almost as big a backers of the massive illegal immigration as the Catholic Church. It's not the Southern Baptist Church of our fathers. That's for sure.
Well, and the thing is, and of course, we're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole. There are certainly small Southern Baptist churches that still do a fairly good job, and I'd like to think that I go to one. But then again, we've got the Bellevue Baptist here, which is just eaten up with a lot of this liberalism. They will hold the line on two social issues and two social issues only, abortion and sodomite marriage. That is it. Other than that, if politics comes in the door, they're going to take a liberal stand on it. You know, certainly with regards to immigration. And I was thinking, Eddie, you know, I know we have this Great Commission. I sometimes stalk the Bellevue website to see what they're up to, just so I don't know what I'm talking about. I understand that as Christians we have this Great Commission, and you know, certainly we should spread the light of Jesus Christ and Christian salvation to every part of the globe. And I don't have a problem with that outreach extending to places like Africa and South America and wherever. But as we so often talk about, with the Southern Baptist churches today, it exclusively goes to those places. And it's fine if you want to send people into the Congo, but you should train these missionaries to know that if they go in as a missionary to the Congo, they could very well come out somebody's bowel movement. And we're going to take a break, and I've got something to say about that. It's something very important, all kidding aside. Well, that's not really a joke, but I've got something important to say about this. And then we're going to talk about Chuck Baldwin's recent article on a related matter. Our good friend Chuck Baldwin right after this.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We were talking about the outreach that churches do. We're picking on the Southern Baptists only because Eddie and I are Southern Baptists, so we feel as though we've earned the right. Certainly, and this should be said, there are denominations far, far worse. There are some denominations so bad you can't even rightly and in any sensible way consider them to be a church. You know, when you get to lesbian so-called ministers and things like that, that we see at some of these churches, and the Episcopalians, you know, accepting homosexual unions. I mean, that's not a church in any sense of the world. It's one thing to do some of these silly things. But it's another thing to just outright be advancing sin inside the church and behind the pulpit. We got a message in from our dear friend Courtney, who brings up a good point, and this should be stated too. We want to be fair, and that is, you know, I mentioned that Baptists hold the line on homosexuality and the right to life, but they are still traditional on sex roles as well. Only men can be pastors in Baptist churches. Only men can be ushers and deacons and things like that. And so, you know, there is some good. There is some good. But we want to be as level-handed as we can be. But with all this outreach that we see, and I'm using Bellevue Baptist Church as an example here, it's exclusively to third world countries. They do one outreach to Seattle, Washington. So it's exclusively third world countries. And then the most liberal part of America that you can get to. And I was thinking, you know, my goodness, we have done so good in advancing the faith that every person in Europe is a Christian. There's no need for missionaries in Europe because everybody there's a Christian, apparently, or else we would, I guess, send some missionaries over there too, right? Well, obviously that's not the case, and as I mentioned on a previous broadcast some time ago, there was a recent report that came out that said of adults living in Estonia, the all-white nation of Estonia, 3% claim Christianity as their faith. 3% of all adults living in Estonia. So, you know, It's all well and good to go and get these somewhat meaningless conversions in Africa of some of these, you know, tribal leaders, but how about going and re-solidifying the people without whom Christianity wouldn't exist at all? Yeah, how about that, Pappy?
Amen to that, brother. You know, that brings to mind my small church. It's not near as large as your church, James, but it's the same faith. And, you know, in all, I'll second what you said. We have missionaries as small as our church is, but I've never seen a missionary go out supported since I've been in this church that's gone to a white nation. And, you know, we have a man on our show, you know, Matt, the Copperhead. He is involved in trying to help save, you know, reverse the genocide that's being carried out against white South Africaners in South Africa and Zimbabwe, former Rhodesia. You know, I've never heard a peep out of our church, James, where I go, about the genocide and the way the white people are being just murdered en masse in Africa. Not one peep. They're always going, and you've heard me say this before, James, our church, they just can't get enough of these all black South African nations. The country is casing right now, but they're forever going to this one particular African nation. And you've heard me say this, it's like a revolving door of fresh missionaries going in to Kenya. We're always preaching about Kenya in my church. We'll have one batch of missionaries going in and another batch coming out. It's like a revolving door of missionaries from the various churches in the United States taking all kinds of goodies over there, you know, trinkets and toys. And these people, even though they're not up to our par intellectually wise, they're not totally stupid. They realize if they play ball, they're going to get all these goodies, all these handouts in these churches. It's been going on since Dr. Livingston. I mean, Lord, how long do we have to go over here and evangelize, you know, Kenya? You know, why can't we go to South Africa? Why can't we at least mention the genocide going on in South Africa and Zimbabwe? Well, we don't. We have no care for them. You know, our race, it seems like we just have no concern whatsoever about what happens to our own progeny, our own people. And, you know, James, we can go down here in Memphis, right here under our nose, and you can see, you mentioned Bellevue. They're the biggest and the richest, but, you know, my church is in on it, too. They're always going down into middle of the dark town. And James and I have talked about, there's a place here in Memphis, I'll tell you where it's off of Tillman. You can go in there in summertime and you'll see white people. They have developed a football field down there. They put in, facilities, sanitation facilities where men and women can use the bathroom. They've bought equipment for these blacks, you know, for all kinds of sports. You can see the most beautiful children you've ever seen from 12 to 16, 17 years old in the summer, down all white, painting buildings, cutting grass, picking up the trash. But what you'll never see, the black people down there participating in these public works programs.
And here's the thing that we have to say again about this. Is there anything inherently wrong on face value with helping blacks as they do? No. But again, the exclusivity of their outreach, whether it be local or international, they are obviously specifically targeting these areas, whether it's in Memphis or abroad, because they are black areas. Now, if you just so happen to help whoever comes to a church or help whoever is in the immediate neighborhood surrounding your church, and it happens to be mixed race or black or predominantly white, you know, that's one thing. But they are purposefully focusing their efforts towards these people. And again, you know, why not help the people who actually go to your churches? You know, and you mentioned that in a previous show, Eddie, that there was a secretary that worked for your church who couldn't get any benevolence to help her kids stay at the school that was sponsored by the church. But at the same time, they can't give enough money away to these foreigners. And so that's a problem. Well, we didn't even intend, or at least it wasn't on the docket for me to cover all of this. But it is an important thing that Eddie and I have prefaced some of the things that are going on with even these more conservative branches. And again, the Southern Baptists, there are some good things about them. I mean, we still belong, and there are good, smaller churches of different denominations that are doing good things. But as a whole, just like you can find some good local Republicans, you can't really find many good, if any, Republican senators or congressmen. I mean, maybe Walter Jones, maybe Ron Paul when he was in there. But it's the kind of same with churches. You can find some good small churches in local areas, but when it gets to the head of any given denomination, it's going to be eaten up and rotten to the core with liberalism. And I say all of that because we are, as I mentioned a moment ago, going to get into this article from Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin has been on the political cesspool many times. We supported his run for president under the Constitution Party's banner some years ago. Before he ran as the presidential nominee, he was the vice presidential nominee on a Perutka Baldwin ticket. So he's just a great guy. He was a Southern Baptist pastor in Pensacola, Florida for a number of years. And he left not long ago to go to Kalispell, Montana, and he's still doing great work there. He's written this article that goes back to the persecution of Christians in Houston, Texas. I've actually been sitting on this story for over a month because I wanted to make sure that Eddie was on the air with me when we brought it to the table. And Chuck Baldwin has written a great column on it, and we're going to get to that. But before we do, one last question, Eddie. Have you been to church since the elections? Was everybody at Macon Road happy about the Republicans going in?
You know, James, you know, I've been kind of globetrotting. For me, you might say, I've been there one time. But you have you pressed one of our hot buttons. And I just can't believe the utopia that these people have. You know,
hold it right there. I'm going to let you continue right there, and then we're going to get to Chuck's column. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Ba, 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 ba.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Eddie and I have kind of rehashed years' worth of a theme here. Talking about churches, it's a regular topic that we talk about during the third hour. We don't talk about it exclusively during Eddie's time with us, but it's one that recurs, a recurring theme. We've done it all to set the stage for this article that Chuck Baldwin has written, and we're going to get to that very quickly. But first, Eddie, you said that your church was euphoric over the election of Republicans. And see, this is the thing. This is the thing. They really believe, and God bless them, they really believe that the Republicans are going to reverse the tide on abortion. That they're going to somehow overturn Roe versus Wade now that they have a Republican majority. That the Republicans are really going to do something to curtail sodomite marriage. And it's almost so sweet, sweetly ignorant that it's endearing. But they really believe that they've done everything and victory is finally at hand and the war has been won.
You know, James, and I remind these people, and before I go to, I'm got a little list, what I call kind of like litmus test. We can watch and see if these Republicans coming in, they're going to save us, man. They're going to get us back to a paleo-conservative constitutional republic. We know they're going to do that. But I tell these people, you know, I remember a time back when Slick Willie Clinton was president, and the Republicans gained a solid majority in the Senate and the House. And James, this may be a little before your time, but Newt Gingrich came up with this thing called the Contract with America. I don't know if you remember that or not. And they had all this big list of things that they were going to do, all these wonderful things they were going to, you know, they were going to kind of curtail some activities of the United Nations. They were going to, you know, shut down the Mexican border. They're going to stop, you know, our industries from going to foreign countries. They're going to stop the out of control budget. They didn't do any of those things. As a matter of fact, they were hell bound to do it. So they were so hell bound, the Republican Party, so they were going to shut the government down. They were going to stop funding the sucker. Well, they did shut it down, and then they claimed, oh, well, Clinton. I still remember Bob Dole saying, well, we had to give it up, you know, because of Clinton. He nailed our hides to the wall because they were shutting the government down. Well, this is the same song, second verse. It looks like they said, it looks like that the Senate on this race back in November, whatever it was, November 4th, they got about 7 senators to gain. The GOP gained about 7 senators and gained, got, you know, a better majority, got more people in the House. But here's what we know. I told them, and they're talking about, you just mentioned abortion. James, I don't know if you remember this, but you and I did a show. One of the first shows we did back in the Beanfield was we were talked about Son Boy Bush, Baby Boy Bush. We call him Poppy Bush, who, you know, brought the dope in from Vietnam and elsewhere when he was with the CIA. The Son Boy. When Son Boy Bush was the president of the United States, he was responsible for the greatest amount of money going into Planned Parenthood of any president in history, even more, you know, more than Slick Willie, more than any Democrat before him. You know, he did it, you know, under the guise of being such a pro-life president. This guy here was also big time responsible for passing his Dragonian Homeland Security stuff. You know, and we've talked, how many times we talked about the Mayock Report. But I told these people, James, if this will take just a minute, this may be a little bit monotonous, but I borrowed some of this from Mike Peruka from his site, and some of these are mine. And this is what I tell people to look for. You want to watch and see if the Republican controlled Congress now will take action, and we mentioned this, on stopping the murder of the unborn. Will they reverse the funding, the massive unconstitutional funding of Planned Parenthood that has been perpetrated by George Bush? You know, that's George Bush. He likes walks on water, according to the Southern Baptist. Will Obamacare be repealed? And, you know, good will. Rand Paul is already saying he's not going to lead that fight. If you know, I need to check my news sources for that, but the news sources I have, James, if they're true, Rand Paul has already said he's not going to be the spearhead for Ted Cruz in leading the fight to reverse Obamacare. I'm telling you flat out, people, if the GOP does not try to end Obamacare, that is the worst, most draconian legislation we have been passed since FDR's New Deal, maybe even greater than that. Even under FDR, American people that were broke and had no money because their jobs have been shipped overseas by the GOP, thanks to NAFTA and GATT and the FTA and countless other so-called free trade. Anytime you hear the word free trade spoke of, especially by the GOP, you know they're getting ready to ship your jobs overseas. But you know what? If you don't see these clowns, if you don't see them stop Obamacare, there's nothing ever passed Obamacare. They're forced people that don't have jobs with no money to buy insurance. Okay, if you want to watch out and see if they get rid of the Department of Education, if they stop funding that, which is unconstitutional. And this is one of our pet peeves, James, we always talk about. Are they going to get rid of the unconstitutional Federal Reserve? Or at least, by God, audit the thing. We had this senator out of Oklahoma, James Inhofe, if I'm pronouncing it right. He's supposed to be the chairman of the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee. Well, he's got the ability to reverse, do away with all this climate change legislation. Watch and see if he does it or if he's just talking out of the side of his mouth. Are they going to curtail the out-of-control spending? Are they going to shut down the Mexican border? And listen, finally, are they going to pull, will they have the courage to do another Operation Wetback like President Eisenhower did? Are they going to wind up, these are some of the items I'm going to, litmus test items. Are they going to round up all these illegals that are infesting our country and just sucking the lifeblood of the American working people, getting all these free government benefits, taking American jobs? Are they going to support the right to keep and bear arms? This is one of the big things. Are they going to bring American troops home from these countless unconstitutional, undeclared wars and bring them back here? Are they going to do that? Are they going to end forced busing by the course? Are they going to renounce the bogus debt that the banks have put on the United States instead of the American people, a.k.a. Iceland? Are they going to eliminate the bloated Army and the Marines? I don't know if people know this, but anytime you raise an army, the Constitution says you can only fund that army for 2 years without, going to another constitutional process there. The Constitution never intended for the United States Army to be a large standing army. Well, are they going to fund, like the Constitution says, are they going to fund and discipline the constitutional militia of the several states, the officers being appointed by the states? Are they going to ignore the courts and just quit saying, well, the courts told us to do this, told us to do that, we have to obey the Supreme Court of the land? No, sir, ladies and gentlemen. The Supreme Court is not the supreme law of the land. The Congress is not. The Senate, the House, the President. The Constitution is not even the same supreme law of the land. It is really, technically. But we, the people of the United States, the buck stops with us. Are we going to allow, are we going to force all these people we're going to hold them to the line? Are we going to put people like Leon Panetta and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in prison and try them for treason because they told the Congress that we don't take orders from you anymore, Congress. We take our orders from the United Nations and NATO. My friends, that is treason. Those suckers need to be put in prison for treason. Is the GOP the saviors, our saviors of the Southern Baptist Church and the evangelical Christians? Are they going to do any of these things? I predict. Are they going to stop and reverse the nationalization of the auto industry, the banking industry, the medical industry, the insurance industry? Are they going to resurrect tariffs, customs, duties, and imports that we had, that those things built this country in the first place, that we didn't rely on these stupid illegal income tax, sucking the lifeblood of people like James Edwards and me and Brenda and all our other friends? We didn't have that. That's totally illegal. We used to fund this country with these things I just mentioned. Are we going to get rid of foreign aid? What a scam, man, especially, the aid to Israel. Are we going to do any of these things? Are we going to put prayer back in school like the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States who helped write the Federalist Papers, John Jay said, this was a Christian country, and we should have Christian leaders in our country. We've covered that on this show before. But people, though, that's just a scratch of the surface. Watch and see if the GOP acts on any of these items, and I predict you, James, that not one thing is going to be done.
Well, that's exactly what Eddie. First of all, very eloquent what you just said. The way that rolled off the last few minutes, I really enjoyed as a listener just hearing you say that, because it was quite right. And Joe McCutchen said, not only are they not going to do any of that you were talking about, they're not even going to stop, in his prediction, they're not even going to stop Obama's executive order for amnesty. Joe, I don't know if you were listening to the first hour, Eddie, but Joe McCutchen issued 12 words and phrases that the Republicans have been saying in the last 12 days. Now, right after a mandate given to them by people that go to our churches, the Republicans have been given a mandate, and what are they doing with it? They're uttering words, you know, concession, work with, compromise, listen to, you know, all the things they're going to do with the Democrats.
We got to take off on that. We got to take a break.
We will.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Very quickly. I had intended to get to Chuck Baldwin's column at the top of this hour. Here we are with just a few minutes remaining in the show. We haven't started to cover it yet. That's what happens when you get a couple of Southerners doing some Southern porch talk. Yeah, Pappy.
Let me just mention two more things. Also, when is the last time, James, this may be a little bit before your time, when is the last time you've heard anybody say Red China when they talk about our trading partner, China? When is the last time you've heard anybody talk about V communist Vietnam. You know, I have a bookshelf in my house that me and my grandson went to buy. We got home, and I'll be a son of a gun, that didn't come from Vietnam. Our largest trading partner, the country that owns almost the United States and our, you know, part of our trade deficit, is Red China. We fought those suckers tooth and nail, supposedly, ha ha ha, what a joke, after Second World War and during Korea. And the United States State Department all the time undermined General Chiang Kai-shek and supported Mao Zedong. You know, and there's nobody more guilty of that, of this foreign trade deficit and mollycoddling Red China. I'd like to point out to people that President Nixon, I was alive when he went over there, what was called the detente. President Nixon's great, the jewel of his crown was opening up Red China. That's the GOP did that, people. So these rich GOP people, these international bankers and industrials, can use that cheap slave labor to undermine you and cut your throat. So just keep on voting for these GOP clowns. And I hope I didn't interrupt you too much there, James. I wanted to get before I forgot.
Well, no, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I mean, obviously, you know, they're sending these people to be, you know, some sort of a representation of Christian conservatism. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, and then, of course, they're also screwy on foreign policy. I mean, my goodness. But especially with regards to Israel. But, Eddie, you're asking if churches are even going to safeguard some of these principles. I mean, we're lucky now if they feign any conservatism at all. I mean, you know, again, give the Southern Baptists credit for all their silliness and foolishness. They're still good on a couple of issues sometimes. I was talking about Bellevue, which we use as an example because it is the largest Southern Baptist church, and it's right here in Memphis. In his sermon, it was either last Sunday or the Sunday before, I believe it was two Sundays ago, the pastor of Bellevue was praising for 5 minutes Martin Luther King as the exemplar of how we should live our lives. You know, this communist, plagiarist, whoremongering, law-breaking degenerate. Now, this is the new model for Christianity, Martin Luther King. Well, that's what the pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in the country says. And then could you imagine, what would happen if somebody walked in there, you know, wearing a tie with the Confederate lapel pin or something like that? I mean, you know, what about great Christian men like Robert Louis Dabney or Stonewall Jackson or Robert E. Lee? You know, great Christian men. You know, do they have a place in the Southern Baptist Convention anymore? I mean, the answer is rhetorical. I do want to say this, though. The gentleman from Arkansas who was at our 10-year anniversary, who gave us, Eddie, that beautiful Confederate flag, that hand-stitched flag. He, I want to bring that up again because he sent to me this week two German teddy bears, made in Germany teddy bears, for my son and daughter. And so I want to thank him again while I'm thinking about it. And God bless you, Brother Brian in Arkansas, for that. But anyway, let's talk very quickly here, Eddie. We've prefaced this whole hour leading up to this moment. This is what's going on in the churches today. They're trimming their sails. They're embracing liberalism on just about every issue. And what is it getting them? Nothing but more persecution. They have not curried any favor for themselves or their children. They're still being called racists and bigots. And now the very freedom of speech may soon no longer exist for Christians. A great test case was held in Houston just a few days ago. This is what Chuck Baldwin writes. Thomas Jefferson rightly noted that the big cities are the bane of freedom. And in a letter to James Madison, Jefferson wrote, "When we get piled upon one another in large cities as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as in Europe." Modern America is living testament to Jefferson's wisdom. Unlike early America, the vast majority of U.S. population now lives in large metropolitan areas, and it is the big government of big city politicians that are leading the charge for America's surrender to Big Brother. Houston, Texas is the latest example. Here's the story, Eddie. The city of Houston has issued subpoenas demanding a group of pastors turn over any sermons dealing with homosexuality, gender identity, etc., to the city's openly lesbian mayor. And those ministers who fail to comply with this order will be held in contempt of court. Chuck Baldwin goes on from there. We can't read the whole piece because of time restrictions, but I will tell you that we posted it on November 13th. So what was that, on Thursday? No Freedom of Speech for Christians in Houston by Chuck Baldwin. It's at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Chuck Baldwin says that he chuckles at the lack of resistance from behind the pulpit in reaction to this. So here we have the situation in Houston, which made national news. This was not a local obscure story. This made national news. And he says, you can go in any given town, in any given city, and you will not find one pastor speaking out on issues like this. You will not find one pastor that talks about political issues. 90% of America's pastors, he writes, according to a recent research project, deliberately refuse to address anything related to politics from behind the pulpit, and they won't defend members of their faith. When oppression like this comes, Eddie, they will lose everything. Chuck Baldwin writes, the one thing that they fear most about losing is their 501c3 tax-exempt status.
That's true.
And so take it from there.
You know, I've tried to get my pastor, where I go to church, Dave, you imagine how far I got. I've tried to encourage him to, let's get rid of our 501c3. That way we could carry on politics in our church. But James, I saw an article, and I had to chuckle too. This Dobbenmeyer, Coach Dobbenmeyer, he used to be a
football,
you know what? He said he's kind of glad in a way. He said it serves him right. He said that some of these pastors that are protesting, he said these are the same ones that are telling us, oh, Romans 13, no matter how evil the government is, you have to obey them unless it affects the pastors themselves. Then they're going to start screaming, you know, that about our constitutional rights. But these same pastors, James, like we've been talking about this show, have never stood up to resist one stinking thing. They've been over and allowed this, you know, homosexual marriage and homosexual priests and ministers and preachers to come into the churches. They never lifted a finger, you know, to stop forced busing. God's sakes, you just got through mentioning they're praising that communist Marxist whoremonger Martin Luther King. You know, he died here in Memphis. I don't know if a lot of our listeners know that. His last night spent alive in Memphis, Tennessee with a bunch of white whores. And that's the truth. I mean, it's pretty much declassified common knowledge now, although the FBI, you know, they still have it, the Corps still have that locked up, you know, still classified. I forgot when. We probably won't ever see it.
Well, when it is supposed to be released, I can guarantee you they're going to give it another 100-year stay in the vault, and not it matters anyway. They will just say it was an evil white, you know, the FBI had a lot of white people in it then. It was just an evil conspiracy. I mean, there's so many ways they can dismiss the FBI surveillance of King. But yeah, so this is who, though, you know, Christian churches are presenting, and it's not the first time Bellevue's done that. But what about true Christian leaders? You know, we draw from Confederate heroes, but, you know, you certainly don't have to have been a Confederate to be a great Christian man. There's no shortage of them, but you won't hear about them in many churches. And the only people that get play at Bellevue are Martin Luther King and people who fought for the civil rights movement and people who fought against Germany and things like that. But anyway, but you're not hearing anything even about this happening to Christian churches in Texas because they won't turn over their sermons.
You mentioned it, James. They're so stinking afraid of losing their place at the government tit, at the government trough, you know, getting their little tax-free exempt status, getting their 20% discount back from Corky's Barbecue in Memphis, where my church used to go to a lot before we got so broke. They got to have that discount, that tax-free discount at the barbecue place. But, you know, and I'll say, James, you've heard us, our listeners have heard us say this on the show, I'm pretty sure. You know, there's that Romans 13, they'll say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. Well, in this country right here, people, we don't have a Caesar, in case you've noticed. We have this thing called the Constitution of the United States, which is the law of the land. And I submit to you that our Caesar here in the United States is we the people, because we the people created the Constitution of the United States. And we go, our Constitution is our law. It's the rule of law. We don't have a stinking, almighty, powerful central government residing in Sodom on the Potomac, a place we call, you know, Washington, D.C. We have a constitution. We don't render jack to Caesar. And this, it's been pointed out to me, too, you know, Caesar didn't have anything. James, I'm sure your pastor's told you, you don't really own anything. You don't own any money. Anything you ever have really belongs to God. It's just on loan to you. Well, Caesar doesn't have jack. So I say we don't owe the Caesar, the government, anything. I mean, we can go about that. Anything that's Caesar here in the United States that they call a Caesar, which is really not, you know, it has to come from we, the people, the taxpayers, first. But we don't owe jack diddly squat to this fake, you know, Romans 13 government. We owe allegiance to the United States Constitution. It's our God and country.
Eddie, I love you. Great hour. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know you'll be taking a couple of weeks off as you finish up a marathon training for the big run in Memphis here at the top of December. I want to thank Joe McCutcheon and Mark Weber for being our guests tonight, and I'll be back with you next week. We're out of time. I wish we had more. This show has been incredible. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night, folks.